Heart Melted. VOA 1, the hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today, Dan Friedel tells us what the U.S. government is doing to increase sales of electric vehicles in the country. Brian Lynn presents this week's technology report. We close with the next part of our U.S. history series. But first, here is Dan Friedel.
The administration of U.S. President Joe Biden is aiming for new rules to push electric vehicle sales in the United States. Biden wants the Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA, to place new restrictions on pollution coming from cars and trucks. The effect of the rules is that most new vehicles sold in the U.S. will need to be electric by 2032. The new rules limit pollution that can come from cars and trucks produced between 2027 and 2032. The proposal is stronger than the one automakers agreed to less than 2 years ago. The plan could be put in place by 2024. It is part of Biden's stated goal to cut in half greenhouse gases from the U.S. by 2030. Scientists say greenhouse gases trap heat in the Earth's atmosphere. Here are details about the EPA's proposal. The EPA will not tell automakers how many electric vehicles they must sell each year. Instead, the government's pollution restrictions will influence the kinds of cars and trucks automakers can offer. The EPA believes most smaller vehicles sold by 2032 will be electric, and just under 50% of larger vehicles, such as trucks, will be electric. The head of the EPA is Michael Regan. Biden appointed him to lead the agency in 2021. Regan said the plan is the most ambitious ever for cars and trucks. He said it would result in cleaner air and lower fuel costs for Americans. John Bozzella is the leader of an automotive trade group called the Alliance for Automotive Innovation. He called the new plan aggressive and expressed concern that the goals are too high. He said the Biden administration announced a policy less than 2 years ago that was already difficult for automakers to put in place. That policy required 50% of all new vehicles to be electric by 2030. Bozzella called that plan a stretch goal. He said the success of either plan still depends on two important factors. First, automakers must be able to produce enough electric vehicles to reach the goals. Second, most Americans need to be able to pay for the new cars. Bozzella said, the question is not whether this can be done. It's how fast can it be done? He said the new plan requires the right policies and market conditions. The EPA says the new requirements would reduce pollution from vehicles by 56% compared to the rules set for vehicles made in 2026. They would improve air quality and save car owners thousands of dollars in fuel costs. In addition, the U.S. would not need to import as much oil. In the first 3 months of 2023, electric vehicles accounted for 7.2% of all vehicles sold in the U.S. Electric vehicle sales appear to be increasing. Last year, 5.8% of all new vehicles sold were electric. Automotive industry experts and research organizations say the cost of electric vehicles and the difficulty of charging them will continue to be a problem for Americans. LMC Automotive is an industry research company. It said new electric vehicle sales could make up 49% of all sales by 2032, but the number may not go above that until costs come down. I'm Dan Friedel.
Chinese companies are planning to build an undersea internet link to connect Asia, the Middle East, and Europe, Reuters news agency reports. Technology experts consider the planned $500 million project China's attempt to compete with a similar effort led by American companies. The Chinese project is known as EMA. It aims to create a huge network of high-speed internet cables on the ocean floor. Reuters reported that China's HMN Tech is to build the network and put down the cable. HMN Tech would receive financial assistance from the Chinese government for the project, the news agency said. Reuters reported that four people with direct knowledge of the plans confirmed the project. The individuals did not want to be named because they were not permitted to speak publicly about the plans. China's three main telecommunications carriers will help map out the operation. It is expected to be one of the world's most modern and extensive undersea cable networks, the four individuals said. The proposed network would reportedly link Hong Kong to China's island province of Hainan. It would then continue to Singapore, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and France. Reuters said it contacted representatives from HMN Tech and the Chinese telecommunications companies, but none of them were willing to provide comments. In a statement to Reuters, China's foreign ministry said it has always encouraged Chinese companies to carry out foreign investment and cooperation. The ministry did not provide any specific information about the reported Chinese-led project. Undersea cables carry more than 95% of all international internet traffic. Such projects usually involve cooperation between many technology and telecommunications companies. The companies share their resources to build large networks to transport data quickly around the world. Such networks are considered important to supporting economic and military operations for the companies and governments involved. The undersea cable project is the latest technology competition between the United States and China. Experts say the China-led project aims to directly compete with another undersea cable currently being built by American company Subcom. That project, called CMIWE-6, will also connect Singapore to France through Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and several other countries. Reuters reported that the CMIWE-6 project at first involved China's HMN Tech and the country's major telecommunications companies. But a successful U.S. government pressure campaign resulted in the contract being given to Subcom last year. The campaign included the U.S. giving millions of dollars in training assistance to foreign telecommunications companies in exchange for choosing Subcom over HMN Tech, Reuters reported. The U.S. Commerce Department also put economic restrictions on HMN Tech in December 2021. The agency accused the company of seeking to secure American technology to help modernize China's People's Liberation Army. The restrictions made it impossible for owners of a Chinese-built cable network to sell internet connectivity to U.S. technology companies. China Telecom and China Mobile withdrew from the project after Subcom won the contract last year. Then the carriers, along with China Unicom, began planning the cable to be built by HMN Tech, the four individuals told Reuters. The three Chinese telecom companies are state-owned. The companies are expected to own more than half of the new network. They are also making deals with foreign partners, the news agency reported. Subcom chose not to comment on the competing cable. The U.S. Department of Justice oversees an interagency group that protects U.S. telecommunication networks from spying and attacks. The department also had no comment when contacted by Reuters. Large undersea cable projects usually take at least 3 years to complete. The Chinese companies are hoping to complete contracts by the end of the year and have the EMA cable operational by the end of 2025, Reuters reported. Telecommunications experts said one of the most important parts of the project will be establishing a new high-speed connection between Hong Kong, China, and the rest of the world. The experts say the project will expand China's state-supported telecommunications carriers. They also say the network will provide protection in case they are banned from developing U.S.-backed cables in the future. One telecom executive working on the deal told Reuters about the competing cables. It's like each side is arming itself with bandwidth. I'm Brian Lynn.
Brian Lynn joins me now to talk more about his technology report. Hi, Brian. Thanks for being here.
Sure, Ashley. Thanks for having me.
This week's report examined a reported undersea cable Chinese companies are developing to compete with a similar U.S.-led project that has already started. First of all, what is the undersea project meant to do?
So, there aren't a lot of details known about the Chinese-led project at this point, but some individuals close to the deal spoke to Reuters news agency about the plans. Now, they say the cable would first link Hong Kong to China's island province of Hainan. It would then continue on to Singapore, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and France. This is very similar to the U.S.-led project also described in the story.
And I know the report notes that Chinese companies had initially been involved in the project that was later awarded to the U.S.-led group, but the companies were later shut out of the deal, reportedly because of pressure from the U.S. government, correct?
Yes, that's right. The reporting by Reuters suggests the American government put a lot of effort into preventing a Chinese-led cable project. And technology experts say the reason is that U.S. officials had major concerns that if Chinese companies were involved, it would be hard to safeguard the network from Chinese government influence and also protect the data being transported through the cables.
Okay, Brian. Thanks again for being here to expand on this week's report.
You're welcome. Thank you, Ashley.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Ember with Shirley Griffith. We begin the story of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt. In 1932, Americans were tired of the policies of Republican President Herbert Hoover. They thought Hoover had done too little to fight the depression that was crushing the economy. They gave a big victory to Franklin Roosevelt and his Democrats in the elections that year. Roosevelt believed that the federal government should do more to help average Americans. The election brought hope to many Americans in the autumn of 1932. But Roosevelt did not become president until March of 1933, 4 months after the election. And those months saw the American economy fall to its lowest level in the history of the nation.
President Hoover tried to arrange a World Economic Conference, and he called on President-elect Roosevelt to join him in making conservative statements in support of business. Roosevelt refused. He did not think it was correct to begin acting like a president until he actually became the president. He did not want to tie himself to policies that the voters had just rejected. Congress, controlled by Democrats, also refused to help Hoover.
It was a strange period, a season of uncertainty and anger. The economy was worse than ever. The lines of people waiting for food were longer than before. Angry mobs of farmers were gathering in the countryside. And the politicians in Washington seemed unable to work together to end the crisis. Hoover said, "We are at the end of our rope. There is nothing more we can do." And across the country, Americans waited, worried, uncertain, afraid. What would the new president do?
The new president was 51 years old. His family name was well known to the American public. Theodore Roosevelt, a distant family member, had served as one of America's greatest presidents 30 years earlier. Franklin Roosevelt was born to a rich and important New York family. He went to the best schools, Groton, Harvard, and Columbia Law School. In 1910, he won election to the New York State Legislature. He showed great intelligence and political understanding as a state senator and worked hard for other Democratic candidates. Franklin Roosevelt next served as Assistant Secretary of the Navy under President Woodrow Wilson. And in 1920, he was the Democratic Party's unsuccessful candidate for vice president.
The next year, Roosevelt suffered a personal tragedy. He was sailing during a holiday with his family. Suddenly, his body became cold. He felt severe pain in his back and legs. Doctors came, but the pain got worse. For weeks, Roosevelt was forced to lie on his back. Finally, doctors discovered that Roosevelt was a victim of polio. He lost control of his legs because of the disease. He would never walk again. Roosevelt had always been an active man who loved sports, but now he would have to live with a wheelchair. All of his money and fame could not get him back the strength in his legs.
Many Americans thought the illness would end Roosevelt's political dreams, but they were wrong. He showed an inner strength that people had never seen in him before. Roosevelt ran as the Democratic candidate for governor of New York State in 1928. He won by a small number of votes. 2 years later, the voters of New York re-elected Roosevelt, and they cheered his creative efforts to help citizens of the state who were suffering from the Great Depression.
Franklin Roosevelt always appeared strong and friendly in public. He loved to laugh and enjoy life. But his happy face hid a strong will. Throughout his life, Roosevelt worked to improve life for the common man. And he was willing to use the power of government to do this. He thought the government had the power and responsibility to improve the life of its citizens.
Roosevelt believed deeply in this, but he was less certain about the best way to do it. Above all, we must try something, he said, during the presidential campaign of 1932. Roosevelt believed that the country demanded creative experimentation. Americans in large numbers across the country voted for Roosevelt in 1932. They supported his calls for action to end the Depression. But no one was really sure just what this new president from New York, this man unable to walk, would really do after he entered the White House.
Inauguration Day in 1933 began with clouds and a dark sky. Roosevelt went to church in the morning, and then he drove with President Hoover from the White House to the Capitol, the building where Congress meets. Roosevelt tried to talk with Hoover as they drove, but Hoover said little. He just waved without emotion at the crowd. The two men arrived at the Capitol. A huge crowd of people waited. Millions more Americans listened to a radio broadcast of the ceremony. The Chief Justice of the United States, Charles Evans Hughes, gave the oath of office to Roosevelt. And then Americans waited to hear what the nation's 32nd president would say. He told them he was sure they expected him to speak openly and honestly about the situation facing the country. He told them that their great nation would survive as it had survived in the past, that it would recover and become rich again. He talked about the danger of fear, a nameless fear that blocked efforts to move forward. And he talked about Americans giving their support to honest, active leadership in every dark hour of their history. Here is some of Roosevelt's inaugural address in his own words.
This great nation will endure as it has endured, will revive and will prosper. So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance.
Roosevelt's words caught the emotions of the crowd. He seemed sure of himself. He promised leadership. His whole style was different from the empty promises of wealth offered by President Hoover.
Happiness lies not in the mere possession of money. It lies in the joy of achievement, in the thrill of creative effort, the joy, the moral stimulation of work. No longer must be forgotten in the mad chase of evanescent profit.
These dark days, my friends, will be worth all they cost us
if they teach us that our true destiny is not to be ministered unto, but to minister to ourselves, to our fellow men.
Roosevelt said that the most important need was to put people back to work. And he said the federal government would have to take an active part in creating jobs. Roosevelt said there were many ways to help the nation recover. But, he said, it would never be helped just by talking about it. We must act, he said, and act quickly.
Roosevelt had a strong and serious look on his face. He told the crowd that all the necessary action was possible under the American system of government. But he warned that Congress must cooperate with him to get the nation moving again. Then, his speech finished, Roosevelt waved to the crowd and smiled. Herbert Hoover shook his hand and left. Roosevelt rode alone through the huge crowds back to the White House, and he immediately began a series of conferences.
Roosevelt's inauguration speech of 1933 was one of the most powerful and important speeches in American history. Roosevelt's speech was like an ocean wave that washes away one period of history and brings in a new one. The president seemed strong. He gave people hope. The new president promised the American people action. And action came quickly. During the next 3 months, Roosevelt and the Democrats would pass more major new programs than the nation had seen in many years.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.